بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, it's a pleasant day. There's a bit of sunlight, or at least I caught some on my way in. And we're in a building that has electricity. We have a very well-lit room here, alhamdulillah. Imagine for a moment if we were sitting in this room in complete darkness. And you would say, well, there would be some light outside. So let's say this was nighttime and we were offering Taraweeh prayers here as we did in Ramadan, and the power went out and there are no emergency lights and it's completely dark outside as well. No sun, no moonlight, no stars. When that happens, it completely changes the landscape. Right? So I remember when I was studying and we would go outside at nighttime when the power was out, and the entire place, the entire building, the entire scenery outside, everything would look completely different without any street lights, without any other lights coming from any other building or from any other place. And this obviously affects our ability to do things that we want to do or the things that we need to do. So we know what happens if there's a prolonged power outage. We know how it affects our lives and our society and our communities. We know what happens in disaster zones, in refugee camps where there's no electricity. There are many dangers lurking outside. Once night falls in the darkness, whatever people need to do, they do before nightfall, because they know that their vulnerability increases by many times if they go outside in the dark when there's absolutely no light. It can be a time of confusion. If all of a sudden you have light, you're out shopping, you're at the airport, you're at work, and it's nighttime and all of a sudden everything goes dark completely, it can cause confusion. And it's very easy to lose our sense of direction when we find ourselves in darkness, even if it's somewhere that we consider to be familiar. Speaking of direction, for us, for the believers, the directions, the right direction has been shown to us in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by those who witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believed in him and followed him. This is where we get our direction from the words of Allah azza wa jal, from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then further from those who were with him at that time, who believed in him and who followed him. Since they are the ones who are closest to the primary sources. So the primary sources of our faith are the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So since they were the closest to the primary sources, we look to them for direction and for the purest understanding of those primary sources. Following that, we also have a chain of people. Chain of knowledge, chain of people of knowledge and of taqwa, who were much closer to those with the purest understanding of the deen than any of us. So we also look up to them for guidance as well. So this is how our connection to guidance, this is how the connection to getting direction is established for us, and this is the path that we follow. And it's important to note that the system that we have in place, through it we access the primary sources where we learn about our deen, where we learn about what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to behave, what we're supposed to believe in. But it also conveys to us the mood, the feelings, the context, the mindset that came along with it. So it's not like we're just given a couple of books, the Quran and some books of hadith, and you say, okay, here, read it and figure it out on your own. And you're all alone. That's not the way it works. Because all of those words of guidance, which are extremely, extremely important to us as believers, came in a certain context, came with a certain understanding that people had at that time. So we also look to that as well. That how did they understand it? What did they feel when they understood it? What did they think when they came across these commandments? What actually happened? What effect did it have on them? So this system of knowledge and of guidance that we have, that we follow, gives us all of that. Now as time goes on, this chain and this system of guidance will become less and less accessible. As time goes on, this chain or this system of guidance that I'm talking about here will become less accessible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ انْتِزَاعًا. Verily Allah does not take away knowledge by snatching it from the people. يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ. He does not take away knowledge by snatching it away from people. Rather, وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. But he takes it away by taking away the religious scholars. He takes it away by taking away the people of knowledge, the people of true knowledge. So it's not like you'll see books disappear, or that knowledge will just be snatched away, but it's the people who are carrying this knowledge and who are transmitting it that will start being taken away one by one, and they won't be replaced in the same way. Right? So you have people who are from this chain, who are part of the system, and they have been blessed with a high degree of knowledge, and they have a high degree of taqwa, and as time goes on, those people will become fewer and fewer as they pass away, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them back. And this is how knowledge will start to disappear from this world. So if we consider this system, this chain of guidance, to be like light, then it definitely is going to get darker. It definitely is going to get darker and darker and darker. And it's already happening. So that, along with new situations and new challenges, and we all know about this because we come across this all the time, right? There's certain things that we, circumstances that we deal with, there are new advancements that come to light, which did not exist at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which did not exist at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, did not exist in the time of the Tabi'een. So therefore, we look for guidance, and there's differences of opinion, right? So there's new challenges that come up. So because of the knowledge being taken, or the people of knowledge being taken away, plus combined with these new challenges, matters are going to become murky and confusing. What's going to happen? Matters, issues are going to become murky and confusing. Things are going to become hazy. People will not have clarity as they used to. And the Prophet ﷺ has likened it to darkness, saying, فِتَنًا كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Right? Multiple fitnas, which would be like pieces of darkness, of a dark night. And Prophet ﷺ said that they're going to come. And he went on to explain what's going to happen during these times. Because remember, it's darkness. It's a time when things have become difficult to follow, to find direction has become difficult. And knowledge is slowly leaving from this world. The people of knowledge are leaving. And it's dark. And the effect it's going to have, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا أَوْ يُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. That a person, a believer, will be a believer in the morning, and by evening he will be a disbeliever. Or a person will be a believer in the evening, and in the morning, he will be a disbeliever. So this is one of the prophecies that the Prophet ﷺ has given us about the future and what is going to happen in those times of darkness. Now the word fitna has been mentioned here, fitan, right, plural of fitna. And we come across this often in our terminology, right, in different contexts, in different ways. So the word fitna, you know, alludes to different things. So temptations, trials, adversity, ordeals, strife, unrest, chaos. And it has been used in all these different meanings when it comes to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in different contexts, we find the word fitna being used in these different meanings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. And fear the fitna, the affliction and the trial, which affects not in particular only those of you who do wrong. Meaning it also can affect all the good people as well. Right? So that means that there will be trials, there will be tribulations, there will be chaos that will affect people, and not just people who are committing oppression, but will also affect people in general, even if they are good people, even if they are people of knowledge, even if they are people of taqwa, even if they are believers. It can affect, it has the potential to affect everyone. And the Prophet ﷺ has warned us quite a bit of detail about these tribulations, the strife. And in practically every single, you know, major book of hadith, you'll find Kitab al-Fitan, right? The book of fitan, which talks about the trials and tribulations and talks about strife, and it's filled with prophecies of what's going to happen. And many of the scholars have linked that with the end of time. So as we get closer to the Day of Judgment, and as the world is coming to an end, as we get close to that point, what are some of the things that are going to happen? And there's many a hadith, and it's clear that in this context, the fitna, or the fitan which are being referred to, are clearly strife and unrest and chaos. So it's really, you know, quite revealing to go through those chapters and those narrations from the Prophet ﷺ. And it's also quite concerning and depressing as well. And we don't have the time now to go into detail of all the ahadith and everything that the Prophet ﷺ has told us. But we do learn a few things which are relevant, which I would like to discuss, inshallah. So the first thing is that these fitan, these challenges, these trials, this strife, it's going to come and it's going to increase. It is going to increase as time goes on. So don't be surprised if there's trials and challenges coming one after the other. We go through one challenge, the ummah goes through one calamity, and then after that, another one pops up. And we all run to make dua for that and to control it and to do whatever we can to respond to it positively. And we feel like, okay, we've dealt with it a little bit, things have calmed down a little bit, and then something else pops up. And it happens over and over and over again. And this is what has been prophesied, that they're going to come one after the other. But that doesn't mean that we should give up. That doesn't mean that we should just stop trying to work towards bringing positive change. So we need to continue doing what we are supposed to be doing, which is to propagate good. We are trying to encourage people and call people towards good. We're trying to stand up for what is right. We're trying to promote positive and good values. Right? So we try to continue to do that because the results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Yes, we try to aim for the best results, but in the end the results are in the hands of Allah. Our job is to try our best. Let's try our best and leave for Allah the rest. That's our policy. Right? So our job is to try our best. No matter what's happening in terms of results, even if we're failing, we just try to continue to do and stick to whatever is the best thing that we're supposed to be doing, according to the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and there's some narrations which indicate to us that, you know, even if it's the end of time, I may have some issues in terms of its chain of narration, but nonetheless, the principle is sound. That, you know, if you have a sapling, a tree, and you know that the Day of Judgment is starting or has just started, you still go ahead and plant it in the ground. Now do you think, what's the point of planting a tree if you know the world's going to end anyway? Yet it's an act of goodness, and you should still do it even if you know that it's going to be futile. Even if you know that it's going to be futile, yet it's an act of goodness. So it's not going to get you the desired results. The tree is not going to, you know, grow and then give fruits, and people are not going to eat from it because the world's about to end. And you know that. Yet still, you're still encouraged to go ahead and plant it in the ground. because that in and of itself is an act of goodness. So the results are in the hands of Allah. We try our best. So this is not to say that, you know, we should all just become despondent and we should just give up, put our hands up and say, you know what, we're not going to win when it comes to these challenges, so we're just going to give up. No, that's not the approach of the believer. So we continue to work towards goodness. Secondly, what we learn is that many of these trials and tribulations, this strife and this chaos, will include bloodshed, unfortunately, even amongst Muslims. Okay. And this is something that has been prophesied by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's told us very clearly that this is a type of affliction which is going to come upon the Ummah. Thirdly, the prophecies that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us, they're about incidents and places, and they talk about people as well at times. But generally, there are very few specifics. There are some signs that have been given, right? But not very many specifics as to exactly when and who and names and places. In some instances, there are some details, but in general, it's not very specific. So for example, you know, here's one narration, authentic narration, Sahih Bukhari. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu. Now, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was known for asking, you know, questions about these types of things. He says, the people used to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about good things, but I used to ask him about bad things. He says, people used to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about good things, but Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, he says that I used to ask him about bad things, fearing that I would live to see such things. So he would want to know, what's going to happen. So he says, I said, O Messenger of Allah, we were in a state of ignorance, jahiliyyah, and evil. Then Allah sent us this good, meaning this deen, He sent us Islam. Will there be any evil after this good? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes. So he says, I said, will there be any good after that evil? So we have good. So at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be evil after that. And then he wants to know, is there going to be any good after that evil? And he said, yes. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, but it will be tainted. So yes, how will it be tainted? What do you mean it's going to be tainted? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that there will be some people who will guide others in a way that is not according to my guidance. They're going to guide others in a way that is not according to my guidance. You will approve of some of their deeds and disapprove of some. Okay, so there will be good, but it's going to be tainted good. It's not going to be pure. And he says, I said, will there be any evil after that good? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, there will be people calling at the gates of hell, and whoever responds to their call will be thrown into the fire. They will throw them into the fire. So he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, describe them to us. Ya Rasulullah, describe them to us. Who are these people? So he said that they will be from among our people, speaking our language. So you see, he gives a little indication, but there's no specifics as to exactly who. Then Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says that, I said, what do you command me to do? This is the key part. What do you command me to do if I live to see such a thing? Prophet ﷺ said, adhere to the jama'ah, adhere to the community of believers, to the group of the Muslims and their imam. As I asked, what if there's no jama'ah and there's no leader? The Prophet ﷺ said, then keep away from all of those groups, even if you have to bite, meaning eat, the roots of a tree until death overtakes you while you are in that state. So this is one narration, just one of the many that we find in these types of narrations. There's another narration, and part of it has been attributed to Umar radiallahu anhu. And coming from the Prophet ﷺ, there may be some issues in the chain of narration. Nonetheless, Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that تَكُونُ فِتْنَةٌ صَمَّ بَكْمَ عُمْيَ. There will be strife, there will be fitna, which will render people deaf, dumb, and blind regarding what is right. Okay, so there will be trials and tribulations, and people will not know what to do. So they're going to be as if they're blind, they're deaf, and they're dumb. They don't know what to do, but what is right. Prophet ﷺ, you know, just is reported to have continued to say, and Umar radiallahu anhu said to have said as well, that those who contemplate it, Those who contemplate it will be drawn into it. And giving rein to the tongue during it will be like the smiting with the sword. Right, so giving rein to the tongue. So the tongue will be the words that a person says in that type of chaos and trials and tribulations will be like the smiting with the sword. So words will have such a powerful effect in being a part of this fitna, of these trials and tribulations, of this chaos, that they will be similar to the effects of the sword in terms of their damage. Now when we, and these are just a couple of the many narrations. Now when we come across these types of narrations, a lot of us think it's very fascinating, it's very interesting. And then all of a sudden we have this burning desire to associate it with particular events or particular people, particular groups. Because we have that curiosity and we're living through times of, you know, challenges, and we try to see, okay, so was the Prophet ﷺ particularly talking about this group? Oh yes, we know this is happening, so was it about them? Or, you know, who exactly was it, what he was talking about? You know, the scholars have taken guidance from these narrations, and they've understood them to apply to different times and different incidents over history. Right? So they've never specifically said, okay, that it was about this. Every scholar in their own time, when they face challenges, when they saw fitna, they would say that, okay, this hadith possibly has something to do with this group. Or maybe this group or these people have these traits from you know, that the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned in this particular hadith. And that's happening even now. My brothers and sisters, we should try to avoid linking these narrations with groups and people with surety, with confidence. Because the fact of the matter is that we truly don't know. We truly don't know if the Prophet ﷺ was definitely talking about this particular group of people or this particular incident. We don't know for sure. But yes, the scholars have definitely taken signals and cues from these teachings. So they learn from these teachings. We learn from these teachings. We say, okay, these are some of the signs that we're looking for. These are some of the traits. This is what we should do. So we take guidance from it. But we try to avoid pinning it specifically on particular people. But there are scholars, people of knowledge, you know, who have done that. And they continue to do that as well. And that's their choice. And that's their, you know, that's their prerogative. But generally, especially if we don't have knowledge, we should try to avoid, you know, getting into this and tying it with particular specific incidents and specific people. Because, you know, these may apply to us now, they may not apply to us, it may be about something that has to come to the future, come in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But we try to take whatever guidance we can from these teachings. So what are these, some of the guidance that we get? So first of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised, this is very important for us, that if you come across chaos and tribulations and trials, stick with the jama'ah. Stick with the community of believers. Stick with the imam as well. If you have someone who is leading the Muslims and the Muslim ummah. And if you find yourself in a situation that matters are not clear, the ummah is divided, you don't find, you know, a jama'ah when it comes to these types of issues, and you find chaos, then keep away from the groups. Keep away from associating yourself and from aligning yourself with a particular group. You are better off by saving yourself and protecting yourself as opposed to stepping right into it. And Prophet ﷺ has also mentioned another hadith that there will be fitan, there will be trials and tribulations. Al-qa'idu fiha khayrun min al-qa'im. That the one who is sitting is better than the one who is standing. The one who is standing is better than the one who is walking. And the one who is walking is better than the one who is running. He who exposes himself to them will be drawn to them. And whoever finds refuge from them, let him seek protection therein. This is recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim in their Sahih. Okay, so there will be trials and tribulations. And the better ones will be who? The ones who are further away from them. So the one who is sitting will be better than the one who is walking towards it. The one who is walking or taking part in it will be better than the one who is running with it or running towards it. So again, the indication we get is one of cautiousness. Be cautious in your approach. Prophet ﷺ has also mentioned in some narrations, keep to your homes. Keep to your homes when the times of trials and tribulations come and chaos and unrest. keep to your homes, stay in your homes, meaning stay away from these types of situations. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also recorded to have said, "Inna sa'ida liman junniba al-fitan," that the happy one, the fortunate person, is the one who avoids the fitna, who doesn't involve himself in chaos and tribulations. So the events that are happening today, and I don't, you know, particularly mean in a certain part of the world, but in general, especially among the Muslims, it's a perfect example of what can happen, what can possibly happen in the times of fitna. Okay, so what do we see? You look around the world, you find infighting amongst the Muslims. You see Muslims fighting all over the place. Okay, you see attacks coming towards Muslims from within and from outside as well. You see people throwing around accusations, slander, right, against people. Saying, oh, you know, such and such people, they're sellouts. Such and such scholars, they're sellouts, they're agents, they're this and they're that. You see labels being assigned on people. That, oh, these people, they're this group. And I always find this interesting, you know, it's always easy to put a label on someone else. Right? It's always, no one's going to say, yeah, I'm this, right? So you always see something, a warning, the Prophet ﷺ gave about a particular label, and we go around slapping it upon others. But then others can do the same to us as well. Right? So this is also a part of fitna. Where you see forgery and deception happening. Oppression very clearly happening as well. And the worst part is, the sad part is, everyone is claiming to be upon the truth. It's everyone is saying that, no, we are following the Qur'an, we are following the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ. And not just that, they're saying, come join us. If you're a true Muslim, you have to come and join us. Right? You're either with us or you're against us. Right? That's the type of terminology, that's the type of messaging that's out there. Right? It's like if you feel like, okay, if you don't listen, then you might be doing something wrong. But if you do listen to them, then you might also be doing something wrong. And then you have people who are saying, no, don't go. And there's people who are saying, come, join us. And other people are saying, no, no, at all costs, don't go. And what's happening then? People are distracted from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, many of us finding ourselves, you know, engaged in debates, in polemics, in qil and qal, as it said, right? So-and-so said this, no, so-and-so said this, no, this is the refutation to that, and back and forth. All these online forums just filled with this. Forget about online forums, on Facebook statuses as well, tweets as well. You know, it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the end result is no one is being harmed except for the believers. What happens in the end? In every way, it's the believers that are suffering. The ummah that is suffering. Right? Not gaining anything, just trials and tribulations and people are suffering. So the question is, okay, what to do in this situation? Right? So what do we do in this type of situation? So what we learn is that if the overwhelming majority of scholars are holding an opinion, okay, and remember, we're not talking about just minor differences of opinion, we're talking about major, you know, situations with, or major, you know, issues that have very severe consequences, or have the potential to have that. If the overwhelming majority of people of knowledge are holding an opinion about particular groups, or about particular beliefs, or tactics, okay, they don't go against that opinion and join fringe groups. Okay, this is a very simple way of keeping ourselves safe. Okay, if the overwhelming majority of people of knowledge and taqwa are united, and they'll have differences among minor things, but if they agree on something, and whether it's about a group, or it's about beliefs, or about it's about tactics, then don't go against the flow and be a rebel and say, okay, you know what, no, I'm going to go and join some fringe group, even though no scholar really supports them, or very few do. Everyone speaking out against them, I'm talking about the people of knowledge, you know, are not supporting them, but I'm still going to go and join them because I'm going to be a rebel. Okay? That's not the approach. That's not the guidance we get from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said that the ummah will not unite on misguidance. Right? And the scholars of hadith understand that to be the scholars of the meaning the people of knowledge are not going to unite on misguidance. Okay? So if you see an overwhelming majority of people of knowledge and taqwa saying the same thing and agreeing, then they're not going to be united. It's not going to be misguidance. Okay, it can't be that every single scholar out there is a sellout, every single scholar out there doesn't know anything, and we, you know, armchair scholars sitting in front of our computers who read a bunch of web pages and books, you know, we know better than them. Okay, that's not how it works. And the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ are clear about that. Now, if there's no single leader, and there's multiple groups who are fighting and differing among themselves, as is happening in certain places, then don't join any of them. Do not join any of them. The other indication we get from this is slow down. slow down, don't rush into any action until the above is resolved. So until you figure out what's going on, until you get some clarity, until you get scholars, you know, uniting and people of knowledge coming together, and if that's not happening, they're all divided, then don't rush into it. Do not run right into it. Be patient. Be patient and have deliberation. Don't be hasty in coming to judgment, because you're better safe than sorry. You're better safe than sorry. Now, don't get me wrong. This does not mean that we become oblivious, or that we become, we just ignore what's happening in the ummah. Right? We need to respond individually. We need to do something about, you know, we need to have some effect on us when it comes to challenges that the ummah faces, that our brothers and sisters face, that the world faces. Okay? But the way we each respond needs to be well thought out. And this is the key. The response needs to be well thought out, because the consequences of not doing that can be severe and can be long lasting as well. We hear a lot of news. We hear a lot of things people have said, videos, this, that. Very simple principle. Verify. Verify the news before you act upon it and before you propagate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly in the Quran, فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Why? أَنْتُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Investigate lest you harm a people out of ignorance. Verify lest you harm a people out of ignorance and become over what you have done regretful afterwards. So before you act upon a piece of news, before you propagate it, verify it first. Otherwise, you can end up doing something, causing harm to people, and then regretting it afterwards. A very important principle as well. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرٌ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Speak good or remain silent. If you believe in Allah, right, and in the last day, speak good or remain silent. So promote established teachings of goodness that are established, that are known. Sure, if you have something good to offer, do it. Otherwise, it's better to remain silent. Be just and be fair with everyone. You know, when you're analyzing the situation and you're deliberating and you're thinking about it, think with an open mind. Don't let biases cloud your judgment. Think fairly. Connect with various people of taqwa and knowledge. Ask for advice, research, observe, see what happens. Sometimes things become clear, you know, after a bit, after you think about it, after you wait a little bit. So don't rush, do your homework, talk to different people, talk to different scholars, see what they're saying. Try to understand the situation. And finally, don't forget to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek guidance and assistance from Him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ, to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they responded, قَالُوا نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Seek refuge with Allah from turmoil, from fitan, its visible and its invisible aspects. Because we may be involved in it and may not even realize it. We may actually be being affected now, but we may not realize that we're actually being affected. So seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the aspects of trial, of chaos that are evident and which are not evident as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah azza wa jal grant us all clarity and understanding, and protect us from all types of trials and tribulations and chaos that is here and that is going to come in the future. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Just very quickly, a few announcements. So first of all, tonight, inshallah, this evening, we will be having one of our Friday evening series, which is Khutbah 360, in which we discuss a recent khutbah topic. And the one we will be discussing tonight, inshallah, will be the one about countering or responding positively to hate and fear. How to respond positively to hate and fear. So we'll be discussing that, inshallah, and having a summary of that talk. And that will be happening in this building, just across the hallway, in the Minto room. This starts at 8 p.m., inshallah, so everyone is invited for that. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll be starting a brand new youth program in Ottawa, which is called Strive. This is a program for 13 to 18-year-olds. Boys will have their session tomorrow, on Saturday, inshallah, and girls will follow the following Saturday. And this, hopefully, will be a weekly program, alternating between boys and girls. It's free to join. All teenagers are welcome for that, inshallah. 5:30 to 7:30. at the St. Denis Public Catholic School, 100 Walden Avenue, inshallah. There's no cost, so just bring your child, inshallah. The posters should be up as well, and there's information on, you can follow Twitter, Ottawa Strive, inshallah. The National Council of Canadian Muslims is also having their fundraising dinner and having their boot camp, inshallah, this weekend, sorry, on the following weekend. So please...